everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom and our article on speed review. And it is already the 28th of May. This year seems to be speeding by. And for our speed review today, we're going to be talking about the art of connection. And I have two connectors in the studio with me today.
Jack Smith here. And I know we've all experienced great leaders. Looking forward to talking about why.
And I'm Simon, and I think this book is probably an important one, even if you aren't a leader or you don't think of yourself as a leader, because everybody needs to connect, and these are useful skills for everyone.
I totally agree with both of you, and I'm Linda, and we're so happy you could join us today and tomorrow, hopefully, as we discuss this book, The Art of Connection. And as Simon said, it's really about, you know, It says it's for leaders. Every leader needs now the art of connection. But I think this is really a good article for all people, not just for leaders. Right, Jack?
Yeah. I mean, as Simon pointed out, we all have relationships. We all need to connect with other people in order to go about our lives. And these are some great tips to be able to build healthy relationships.
Okay, well, if you have your magazine with you, why don't you open to page 40 so you could join us as we read and discuss the article, and maybe you could find it on your digital device. And we are going to begin reading at the top of page 40 in the left-hand column down to about line 15.
The Art of Connection. Relationship building skills that can help you to become a better leader. As command and control leadership gives way to influence leadership, the best leaders are those who know how to influence, persuade, and inspire their followers. It is not surprising that the ability to build relationships is one of the key factors for leadership success. And it is equally not surprising that given all of the technology shortcuts available today, more and more people, including leaders, are losing the habit and skills of effective face-to-face contact. In his new book, The Art of Connection, Seven Relationship-Building Skills Every Leader Needs Now, author Michael Gelb explores seven core relationship-building skills that will help leaders acquire and develop their ability to connect with people.
So as we said, name of this book, The Art of Connection, has really kind of been written for leaders, it says, but I think that we all agree that we can incorporate these skills into our everyday relationships, and it will make us better friends and better acquaintances with people. But let's talk about this from the point of a leader. And these are skills that hopefully will help people become better leaders. So the very first sentence, I guess, talks about two different styles of leadership, apparently. Command and control leadership and influence leadership. We had some discussion about what we thought that this really meant. So have you ever, either one of you ever really known a command and control leader?
Yes, I think, I guess if you've worked for long enough, you've probably come across a person who likes this style of leadership. I guess you would describe command and control leadership basically as, the sort of person who has a position of some authority. Maybe they're a manager or a supervisor, and they just want people to do what they're told. So they're not open to feedback or, sort of responses and new information from people who are working for them. Instead, they just want to make all of the decisions and get people to do what they want them to do when they want it done.
Yeah, I totally agree with that assessment. How about you, Jack? Have you ever known a leader like this?
You know, I think I've had previous employers that may have been a little bit of a command and control leadership style, but I think they also had a fair amount of influence in that they were a good example themselves. So in their case, it worked a little bit better than if they were just giving commands with no example on their part.
I also think we feel like command and control leadership, that style of leadership that a person might have, the person is like somewhat removed. you know, and standoffish maybe from what's really going on, and maybe closed, as Simon said, to any input into their decision making. That's kind of what you were saying, right, Simon?
Yeah, and I think actually sort of the key point here comes about when you compare the two. So I would say that influence leadership doesn't necessarily mean the person is not in control of what's going on or isn't giving commands necessarily. I think the idea is that the person is leading by sort of inspiring people to follow. And so they're exhibiting a lot of leadership skills rather than just a lot of power.
Yeah, I think I agree with that, because it says here, if we read down in our article, it says the best leaders are those who know how to influence, persuade, and inspire their followers. And, or we could say employers also, or if you're a supervisor, people working under you. So if you can influence and persuade and inspire, which I agree, I think that inspire probably is the most important of these three words. What do you think, Jack?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I actually am a believer that we all need some inspiration in the day in order to do our work effectively. And when the person who is leading you can give you a, be a source of inspiration, then it can really make your work a lot better.
And I think it also has to do with bringing people on board about the direction of your company or what you're trying to achieve also is you are inspiring. Because if you have that, then you can share it with people around you.
Yeah, and the way they phrase this in the first paragraph saying, as command and control leadership gives way to influence leadership, it makes it sound like this is sort of a new thing, but I think that's not really true. I think particularly people who study leadership have known for quite a while that this, what they're calling here influence leadership, is much more effective and sustainable, especially over the long term.
We were talking about this earlier, and there used to be this phrase that described leadership style as servant leadership. And do you see really any difference between servant leadership and influence leadership?
No, I think they're basically the same at the heart of it, because in servant leadership, the idea is that the leader is going to be the one who does the most, is the best example. And I mean, that person is going to be the inspiration and influence to their, those who are around them.
I don't think that everybody gives way here. You know, we don't lose all command and control leadership, and now everybody is automatically in influence leadership. This is a style that a person develops, and it doesn't mean that people can't change. Okay, so really this article is about if you're finding your leadership style is not quite working, that maybe you want to think about changing some aspects of your style and really to bring more people into your field of reference so that you can have more influence on them. That's, to me, why they're using this word, actually.
Mm-hmm. And if you move down in the paragraph, they sort of say very clearly, it is not surprising that the ability to build relationships is one of the key factors for leadership success. And so the idea there just being that relationship building is an important part of getting people to follow you.
Right. I do agree with the middle of the paragraph that says that, you know, all of the technology that's available today, that we don't really have the skills for face-to-face contact. It's much easier just to send an email or a memo, usually an email or something like that, to tell people what you want. And we do it briefly, and it can come across as quite cold. So here we have this book, The Art of Connection, 7 Relationship Building Skills Every Leader Needs Now. And he's talking about what he calls core relationship building skills that will help leaders acquire and develop their ability to connect with people. Do you think that in this age of technology that we really need to connect with people?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Because, I mean, the email or some of the professional, for instance, professional sites that you can connect with your colleagues on these days, they're very useful. They can help you achieve a lot, share a lot of information very quickly. But as you pointed out, Linda, it only has usually what we would say one dimension of of communication with the person, and that's just the words. You can't hear any tone of voice. You can't see the person at all. And so it's just a very limited form of communication.
We've also discussed on this show the phenomenon that younger people who use a lot of social media and mobile device stuff are more connected to other people than ever before, but they feel lonelier,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So they feel like they don't have meaningful relationships with people. And so I think that's probably just sort of a feature of what's going on in our society right now. And so this may not be a new idea, this idea that better leaders have relationships with the people they're leading. But it may be a thing that is a challenge for people at this time in our society.
I think that this word acquire is very hopeful for people. If you feel like you don't know where to start, you know, maybe you have been like an email type of leader or professional development where you just give orders like in a meeting or send out emails about what you want to accomplish and how you want it done, that we can acquire these. You know, it's something that we can practice or we can develop, and you know, it's not like you either have them or you don't. So I think that this book is very helpful to people that are like wondering what they're going to do. Maybe you feel like things are not going well and you've thought about, I really need to learn how to connect with people more professionally and even personally. So I think this book, it has something to offer everybody. And we are going to take a look at seven core relationship building skills. And we are going to take a look at the first two in the next reading that we have. So why don't you follow along with us?
It begins with humility. The first relationship-building skill, according to Gelb, is to embrace humility. One of the great problems with communication is what is known as the illusion of transparency. This means that the communicator automatically assumes that his or her message has been completely and accurately understood by those who are listening. After all, the communicator certainly understands the message, so why shouldn't others? A humble leader, writes Gelb, minimizes misunderstandings by focusing on what others might hear, not on what he or she said. Humble leaders are also vulnerable, which does not mean weak or helpless. Vulnerable leaders are not afraid to be open and accessible, and thus responsive to others. Gelb evocatively summarizes the second relationship-building skill in the phrase, be a glowworm. In other words, be the leader who shines through the crowd, who draws the attention and respect of those around him or her. How did Winston Churchill lead his people through the long, dark days of World War II? The answer is through the force of his personality and the inspirational words that reached and connected to his suffering people.
So when you think of this word humility, what comes to mind, Jack?
I think there is an understanding of your own limitations and not having a false idea of your own abilities.
What do you think, Simon?
Well, I think just very simply it means you don't think you're the best and you don't assume that you can do everything by yourself or do things in a way that's better than other people.
So usually we think of the opposite of this as proud or proudness for thinking of humbleness. And, you know, if you've met a humble person, then, I mean, it's very obvious. Their qualities are very obvious to you when you meet them, even if they're very, very successful at what they did. So it's a quality that it just surrounds them. So it says here that we can embrace humility. And I agree with this. It says that one of the great problems with communication is what is known as the illusion of transparency. We hear a lot about this word transparency in association with companies and people these days. What does that mean to you?
technically, the word transparency means you can see through something. So a window, for example, is transparent because mm-hmm. you can see through it and you can see what's on the other side. And so the idea here when you're talking about an organization being transparent is that it is clear and open about what it's doing and how it's deciding things and what things are going on. So it's open and honest, I guess, is the idea. And this term, the illusion that they've added on here, an illusion is something that seems to be one way but isn't really that way. So you think, for example, of a magic trick that a magician is doing. It might be an illusion. So you think you are seeing something disappear, but it isn't really disappearing, or something like that. So the idea here, the illusion of transparency, is that people believe they are being transparent, believe that they're being open and communicating effectively, but that's not really what's happening. So you might think when you hear this term, the illusion of transparency, that a company or an organization or a leader is trying to make people think they are being transparent, but actually hiding things. But that's not really what it means. What it means is the leader believes they are communicating clearly, but they aren't.
Right. And I found myself doing that. Sometimes I've said something at a meeting and I feel like, okay, that's really clear. And people are like, what?
Exactly. You know, I when I read this, I realized I'm really prone to do this because it's so easy to just assume I understand exactly what I said. So I would assume that you
mm-hmm.
would too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think that this is really true. It says that the communicator certainly understands the message, like Jack and I just said we did. So why shouldn't everybody else? Because it's so obvious to us. But a humble leader, according to Gelb, minimizes misunderstandings by focusing on what others might hear, not on what he or she said. And I think the key word here is assumption. You assume a certain knowledge base of somebody. So when I'm talking, sometimes I just skip over the foundation or the coreness of it to get onto what I really want to say. And, you know, it can leave people like, where are you coming from?
That's right. And I'm sure Mr. Gelb would go into this in his book, but how do you tell if someone has really understood what you're saying or not, other than you have to start asking questions? So I'm sure that's what he gets into in this point, is how as a leader you can start asking those around you how they understood what you said.
You mean other than the puzzled and blank looks on their faces? What do you think about this, Simon?
I think it's a common problem. I think actually there are examples of this happening all around us all the time. People think they've been very clear about something, and other people just actually often misinterpret it,
right,
meaning understand something different than was originally intended.
I think one of the ways that we can use a communication skill, you know, is to have people like repeat back to you what they heard, because oftentimes this is really a counseling skill, but what you said to me, is that really what I heard? Is that really what you meant to say? And it's quite shocking sometimes what people tell you what they've heard, because it's not what you meant at all. So I think it makes you humble really fast. So when he says here, embrace humility, you know, we can't put that feeling on another person. It's something that we did. So it's not the other person's fault here. It's our fault. Mm-hmm. It also says that humble leaders are also vulnerable, which doesn't mean weak or helpless. Now, vulnerable is one of our vocabulary focus words that says it's able to be easily physically, emotionally, or mentally hurt, influenced, or attacked. But that really is not exactly what vulnerable means in this sentence. I think it really means more approachable. And they go on to say, vulnerable leaders are not afraid to be open and accessible and thus responsive to others. So when you see vulnerable in this sentence, what does that mean to you?
To me, I think of person who is willing to share their weaknesses and not afraid about sharing those.
Okay. But as a leader, is that what you mean?
Sure. Because I think a lot of leaders would want to show an image of strength because they think that people will only follow someone who is a strong person, has no flaws. But what Gelb is trying to say here is that actually the leader who shares that they are not perfect, that they do have flaws, is the one that is going to have the more influence.
What do you think, Simon?
I think if you, we've talked a little bit in this program about servant leadership was the term we used. And that was actually the name of a book by a guy named Robert Greenleaf that was written maybe sometime in the 1970s. I'm not exactly sure. But that sort of, you could almost call that the beginning of a school of thought about leadership. So since that time, all kinds of different leadership books have been written that borrow from that idea. And so if you place this term vulnerable into that kind of model, the understanding of what they mean by that, the idea really is just if a leader tries to hide their own weaknesses all the time and insists that they are able to do all of these things by themselves, what they end up doing is weakening their own position. Because in an ideal sense, you want to be open and honest about your weaknesses so that you can hire people and add people to your team that make up for those weaknesses with their strengths. So you want people who have skills that complement your weaknesses. That's the idea. And so if the idea here, vulnerable, is that you are open and honest about your weakness or your failing, then I think that fits very well with that model.
Okay, I think that is followed up in the next sentence. Well, when we say that being vulnerable means that you're approachable, it also means that you're accessible, open, and responsive. So, you know, you have to think about, are you approachable? Do you welcome people to come and see you? Are you easy to reach or to be gotten to? And do you make positive and reactions to something or someone or to people's suggestions, or do you give the feeling to people that they don't really know what they're talking about? Okay, so I think it's also, you know, being accepting, even if you aren't going to do or follow through on an idea of somebody's, do you make them feel like they're part of the team? So good, yeah, I totally agree. And then we go on to the second relationship building skill in the phrase, be a glowworm. Have either one of you ever seen a glowworm?
Absolutely. They have a lot of them in the home state where I'm from, of Michigan. You can see them often on a summer night.
Aren't those fireflies?
There are. So the fireflies fly in the air, and then the female is actually on the ground, and that is what we call
the
glowworm. Yeah.
I often think of the caves in southern New Zealand, which I've never been to, but it's full of glowworms as well.
Really?
So what does a glowworm look like?
It's a tiny worm, and it glows.
it
lets out a little light. That's okay. The idea.
Yes, actually, I've seen them myself because they're also in my home state. And so notice it says here, it's a specialized term, a small insect that produces light. So when you think of a leader as a glowworm, what comes to your mind?
Well, I guess there's two things. So the first thing is they're releasing light. But if you use a different thing that you are comparing the leader to, you might lose that feeling of humility that they've just encouraged. So, you know, if you were to describe the leader as a lighthouse, for example, you would think like a tall, stone, sturdy structure, right? That has no weakness. But we've just been talking about how leaders need to be humble and vulnerable. So a little worm is maybe humble and vulnerable, but it's also glowing and releasing this light that
I don't think glowworms realize that they glow. So I think it's by, you know, they use Winston Churchill here as an example. And he was the Prime Minister of England during World War II, and he certainly was an inspiration to his people. There was a lot of, you know, England was bombed, and so they needed a strong leader, and he certainly was an inspirational person to them. And it says through the force of his personality, he was a very attractive, charismatic person to people, so they naturally turned to somebody. And they needed a strong leader at that time. It didn't mean that he wasn't humble, although a lot of people say that he wasn't really very humble, because he had the force of his personality pushing people what they should do during this period of time, but he certainly stood out.
Well, and the thing people forget about Winston Churchill is that as soon as the war was over, he lost the next election, right? So he was very much a leader for the time, for the situation, I guess.
I think people need to realize that about ourselves as well, you know, that, you know, people come to light during times of crisis, and then, you know, their style of leadership or their inspiration maybe is different than over the long term.
Yeah. So, like the glowworm, leaders need to be vulnerable and humble, but also bright lights during times when they are needed.
Okay, well, this is the first two of the relationship building skills that Gelb is introducing in the book, The Art of Connection. And tomorrow, we hope that you'll join us again as we discuss the next five. It's quite interesting. I think that Simon was right when we were talking about servant leadership. A lot of this probably isn't new, but it's a different way of looking at this subject. So we hope to see you again tomorrow. Time to say goodbye for now. Bye.
Bye. Bye.